Hey, welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Bridget Danner. Happy to have you back and happy to have our guest today, Jamie Logie. We are going to meet Jamie in a minute. And I just wanted to take a quick minute to tell you some things that are coming up. I'm recording a lot of shows this week, which is exciting. So besides our guest today, Jamie, I have got Andrea Thorpe coming back on the show for a second time to talk about nutrition around perimenopause, which I think will be useful for a lot of folks. And I've got Cindy Haas coming on to talk about holistic dentistry, really great topic. I've got the one and only Jimmy Moore talking about ketogenic diets. And then lastly, I've got a friend of mine, Jeevani Eigen, talking about the principles of Ayurvedic medicine, which is something that I don't know a lot about, you know, but I'm very interested, and I hope you're going to enjoy that one too. So look out for those podcasts coming up in the next month. And then I know I had some requests to talk more about postnatal period of time, and I actually got a guest coming up for that next month. So yeah, lots of fun things coming up. Thanks for listening. We always appreciate your subscriptions, and if you love this episode, or you know, it's an episode that makes you think of a friend, you can always forward it over to them to check out too. All right, well, on to today's event. So Jamie Logie is a personal trainer and a nutrition and wellness specialist. He's the author of the book Taking Back Your Health, and he is a blogger at his own website, regainwellness.com, and he is the host of the Regained Wellness podcast. Welcome, Jamie.
Hey, Bridget. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you. We are going to talk about a great topic today, which I think I failed to mention when we first came on.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, we'll get to it.
Which is shopping for groceries and how to do it. You know, I just had a client the other day. She has four kids, and she was just talking about how hard it is to please everyone with meals and the cost of it. So I know this is going to be a popular topic. You know, I'm a Virgo. I like everything practical, and this is a very practical show.
It is.
Yeah. So first of all, I have a couple curiosities. You're from London, Ontario.
London, Ontario, Canada. Yes.
Where is that? Give us
lesson. It is. It's 2 hours south of Toronto, and it's basically halfway between Detroit and Toronto. So it's right in the middle there. And it's actually the birthplace of Justin Bieber. So don't hold that against me. But
lots of stars coming out of that town then.
Hometown boy. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. And then my second question is, how do you know so much about grocery stores?
It's something I just sort of stumbled into, because I do a lot of blogging and I've been a personal trainer forever. And I would do seminars and things with clients, or, you know, guest speaking at other gyms. And it was something that always came up as far as, you know, how do you shop better? And it just is one of those things you start looking into, and it's, you start looking at the fact that all these grocery stores have the exact same setup, and you start digging a little deeper and you learn it's not an accident. There's kind of like a psychology that goes behind this design in all these places. So it was just something I kept looking into further and further and found pretty interesting.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about, you know, what is this layout of the grocery store that
uses? If you think like I was saying, in any grocery store you've ever been in, like big supermarket chain, they all are the exact same, and it's all that same design, and you're like, are they just lazy? But it's an actual studied and proven design layout that they followed. So any store you've ever walked into, a grocery store, you walk in, the first thing you usually see is like a produce section. You'll see flowers. You'll see sometimes like a bakery. And that's a design feature called the decompression zone. So it's meant to bring you in and kind of calm you down a little bit. So it exposes you to brighter colors from the flowers. The produce is up there. It looks good. The smells from the bakery. So it's to put you in a more relaxed state. And the idea with retail is the more relaxed you are, the more time you will spend in a store. And the more time you spend in a store, it's connected to how much more money you will spend ultimately. So it applies to all retail stores, but grocery stores use a ton of different ways to do this. So like there's studies from MIT, and it shows for every 1% more time you're in a store, you'll spend 1.3% more in sales. So the more relaxed, the more comfortable you are, the second you walk in, that sort of sets you up to keep you going for that, you know, longer haul within the store. Like most people, like when they rush to grocery stores, they're already in a rush or they're fighting traffic. You get in, you tend to be pretty annoyed, or you might have kids with you. So this decompression zone helps to sort of, lower your guard a little bit to expose you to more stuff.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I was reading over the notes you sent me for the show, and just, I'm sure me and everyone listening is like, oh yeah, like that happens to me. You know, it totally works, you know.
Everybody.
Yeah, we have this natural grocery chain in our area, and I love shopping there, even though it's super expensive, because it's so pleasant. Yeah, all the flowers, and I feel like somehow, unless I'm in a real rush, I feel more relaxed when I'm there.
And then here's another thing. So for the people who are in the rush, like the usual, you know, what are your staple grocery items most people have to get? It's like milk, bread, eggs, stuff like that. But where are they? They're always in the farthest corner of the grocery store. So even if you're trying to get in and out, you have to go through that entire store and be exposed to thousands of products to get those staple items. So it's not an accident that those things are buried in the absolute back of the place. So whether you've come in a rush, they sort of try to slow you down. If you've come in a rush and you're aggravated, they try to overwhelm your senses and give you that little more calm effect.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, the eggs and milk are in like the polar far end of
exactly the opposite. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, and every time I go, you know, I usually bring my reusable bags, and like I'm often short on bags because I bought more than I said I was going to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I'm always making a joke when I'm checking out. Oh, you know, I did it again. Too much
happen
stuff.
Again. Yeah.
Really interesting. Okay, and then you had a note about shopping carts.
Yeah, that's interesting. You say about the bags. The grocery stores want to make you use, they really want you to avoid using bags, because the idea is you're going to buy only as much as you can carry, you know. Same thing with the baskets. They try to steer you away from that, because once that little basket's full or whatever's in your arms, that's it. That's all you're going to spend. So shopping carts have gotten progressively bigger. I don't know if you've noticed this over the years. I can definitely remember from like a kid, you know, sitting in them and whatever, and riding on the front, and how narrow they seem. And now they're huge. And most grocery carts have gotten around 37% bigger. So ultimately, you can put more stuff in it and fill it more. So, and there's this kind of sensing where you have this big space. There's just this desire that you need to fill the things. So the bigger it is, the emptier it seems, and the more you feel like you have to put in it. And it's kind of why when you walk into a grocery store, there are, you know, there's maybe a handful of baskets, like a couple dozen, but there's hundreds and hundreds of grocery carts. So they're trying to steer you more towards that. And as much as, you know, using recyclable bags and everything's good, they would prefer you use these monstrosity carts to put as much in as you possibly can.
Oh, that's really, yeah, there's always like 10 baskets.
Exactly. And they're kind of, you notice some places they kind of push them to the side. They're not, some places are a little more accessible, but you walk, I was doing this the other day. I walked into like a big chain grocery store, and a smaller, like more independent owned market. And the baskets were there, and they were conveniently placed at the front door. But there was maybe 20 of them max. And then this giant supermarket, I couldn't find them for the life of me. And they were tucked around the side, like of the door where you're walking in the corner. I mean, definitely not accessible, but the carts are right there.
Really interesting. You know, I don't know if you're seeing this, but we are getting a little bit more of a trend for the, like the double decker, smaller cart.
I've noticed that too. The main thing is they want you to use a cart. They don't want you to come in with your own bag, with your own basket, and ideally never with your own just two hands, because that means you're only just going to go grab those couple of items. And the grocery carts will take a little, you know what I mean? Like those, all those, the ones that have the bad wheel, a lot of that was not really, a coincidence. Some are designed to have poorly moving wheels, so it takes you longer to get through the store. And it's that whole idea of the longer you're in the store, the more you're exposed to different products and the more you're likely to buy. Even some, I don't know if you noticed in some big grocery stores, they'll have like those long carpet runners that go down the aisles. And they're there as well to sort of slow you up so you can't be rushing through. And the, and with the size of those carts, you can't be running through like a maniac, even though some people will, you know, so you got to watch out for like the back of your heels when they're whipping through. But the bigger they are, the more like the more slowly you have to maneuver them. So it's really to like slow that pace down.
Mm, that's so interesting. And yeah, like the little double-decker cart, you know, if I don't think I'm going to need a lot of things, I still don't mind to take it because it's small enough to, it's easy to move around.
Yeah,
but then I'll probably buy more than
yeah, exactly.
I thought. It's so funny. Yeah, it's, oh, you know, this is like, I don't know if this is planned or not, but one, you guys don't have Trader Joe's chain.
I know of it.
You know about it a little bit. They have like these little carts for kids, right? And they have a little flag on them. It says customer in training.
Yeah.
That makes you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting. So tell us now that we know, you know, how we can overspend at the grocery store, it makes me think of samples too. You know, we all love to get the little samples, but that definitely slows us down and makes us a more pleasant experience. Huh?
Yeah. So they usually, you know, in those samples, they tend to be, you know, higher sugar, higher, you know, stimulating artificial ingredient, you know, little spikes of fake flavor that sort of override your senses and make you feel like you want something like that. So it's, they tend to do this. So when you walk in the grocery store, like we were saying, like you have that, that decompression zone and you have the outer ring of the store, which is where a lot of the fresher whole foods are, which is what you want to focus your diet on. But the idea with that outer ring is they want you to follow it because when you go around, it exposes you to the end of the aisle, which they call end caps. Mm. And that's where they put like promotional displays, sale items, and those, like, you know, if they have those people giving out the samples, that's usually where they are, is right at those end caps, because that's to entice you down the aisle. So whether it's you see the sale price and you want to go get it, or you've tried the sample of that item, it's down that aisle. So then the idea is that you go down the aisle, and if you haven't, it brings you right out to the checkout counters. So if you haven't bought anything, you kind of have to go to the next aisle and work your way down that one. And it's kind of like a funnel system. So they want you to weave up and down the aisle to be exposed to all those products as you're going. So if you think you go into a grocery store and you try to get out without buying anything, it's almost impossible. You know what I mean? It's like a casino. It's there's no readily accessible exits. There's no clocks. There's no natural light. Like you're almost trapped in there if you don't buy anything. You know, if you get lost in there, you have to like buy a pack of gum to get out of the place. So the idea with those with that ring design is to get you to the end caps, entice you down the aisle, and then you weave your way up and down the whole thing again to spend as long as you. They can make you in the store.
Okay, so if you're on a budget and you don't want to spend more than, you know, than buying the things that you needed on your list, what are some tips to just keep your blinders on?
Yeah, well, the first thing, like you said, is go in with a grocery list. The average person spends around 15 minutes in a store before they make their first purchase. So the grocery list honestly is like paramount in going in, is having your what you need written down. And people who use grocery lists do spend less money statistically. Another good thing is to double check what you have at home already so you don't overbuy on those certain items. Because, you know, like if you get to wherever and you're like, oh, did I already have like onions? And you can't, you know what I mean? You can't remember. And then you're buying more and then you've overbought something you didn't need, you already had it. So grocery lists are so, so key in just getting yourself, you know, in and out as quick as possible. And just talking about like cheaper items potentially, when you look at the setup of grocery shelves, like we've all looked at it, and I think most people are aware of this, but the items that are on the middle shelves at eye level, that's kind of called the bullseye zone. It's where all the big like brand name things are. And it's all these companies, like, you know, whether it's like Coke or whoever, they pay huge things called slotting fees to put them right at eye level, obviously. And even things like soft drinks or Coke, they'll have specific lighting that's set up to kind of feature their product. So you don't actually really notice, but it's slightly lit more in their specific area. And then the next thing is the bottom shelves tend to be the generic or, you know, store versions of stuff. And the top shelves tend to be a little more, sometimes like, you know, gourmet or higher end items. And the grocery stores, they kind of bank on people not wanting to have to like get down low and, you know, banking on people's laziness to not have to reach down, but go for those products that are right in the middle, you know. So it's not a bad idea to go with certain, you know, generic store versions, because a lot of the times those things are coming from the same place. Like if it's, say for like frozen fruit or veg, which I think can be a good idea for a healthy person. Like some people overlook frozen fruit and they write it off as like kind of a manufactured processed product. But a lot of those, say it's like frozen blueberries or whatever, they're flash frozen pretty soon after their pick, which preserves a lot of the nutrients compared to, like, you know, if you have a, you know, blueberries coming from the other side of the country, the transition time, the amount of time they sit on the shelves or on the trucks or whatever, they lose a lot of nutrients over that timeline. But the frozen products can actually be quite good. So if you're in a grocery store, it's better to go for that like generic brand as opposed to like the commercial one, because at that point, that's the extra money you're paying is for the packaging or their advertisements and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, super interesting. You know, I wondered, there's like some online, you know, sites where you can buy like some of the more packaged stuff in bulk.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, places like Costco where you can buy like stuff in bulk. And do you think, as far as like, do you think it's good to reduce our sort of time in a grocery store by getting some other things from other places?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of like the bulk food stores. I not even like, I spent a lot of time in the States. I'm not sure exactly, depending on what area in the country or what they have. Like in Canada, we have a brand store called Bulk Barn, and it's all those big bulk items. And most people kind of think of those stores as like a place that you only get like, you know, jelly beans and candy and stuff, and there's like pinatas sitting in the front. But they're a huge resource and a really overlooked one. And to me, they're almost health food stores. So like you go and you can find any form of like raw nut you'd possibly want, like macadamia, walnuts, cashews, almonds, whatever. And then you can get all forms of like good rice, like wild rice. And you can get, you know, rice blends that aren't, you know, just a plain white rice, which probably not the best choice. You can get like good flour alternatives at these places, like almond flour, coconut flour. You can get like chia seeds, flax seeds, cacao nibs, all that stuff. So to me, honestly, half of my like grocery budget is probably for these stores where I go in to get all those things, like the raw nuts. And you can buy like loose leaf, like green tea, and I'll buy those decent flours. You can get like almond butter that you can, you know, you package together. And because you're not paying for all that advertising and whatever, it's a discounted price. So I think it's a huge resource that people should, you should include, you know, especially like those are such nutrient dense, health promoting foods, like the nuts with, you know, omega-3 contents and the good fiber content. Same thing with like the chia seeds, cacao nibs, like huge antioxidants. Those are like big staples of my own diet. I think people can make use of that.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And, you know, I've been kind of mulling this one over because, you know, I'm busy like everybody, and I don't want to spend the weekend going to three different grocery stores.
Exactly.
Too much work. But I started to think, well, maybe, you know, once a month or once a quarter, I go to this store or that store and kind of stock up or try some online buying clubs. Because as much as, yeah, I do enjoy going to my high-end natural grocery chain, sometimes I see an item and I'm like, I literally saw that for half the price somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Really interesting. So you've got some tips, too, on buying meat. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so like if you are in the – I'll talk a little bit about, you know, ultimately getting away from the grocery stores. But if you are in the supermarkets, it's – there's some different – cuts of meat that people, like most people are wanting to buy, say with like chicken breast, they want the boneless chicken breast because it's easier. If you buy like bone in on the chicken breast, it's like half the price. You know what I mean? And the bone provides a little more of that moisture to keep it in the chicken breast. Helps in the cooking process as well. And you can, for me, you can use those leftover bones to make your own like chicken stock if you have stuff like that, which you can make into your own soup. So that's even more, you know, more of a money saving tip. And like with beef, some of your better choices are like things like flank steak, things like that. If you're going for like pork, going for like the pork shoulder is a lot cheaper. And to me, it's like better tasting, you know, it's a little more tender. And those cheaper cuts of meat are where it's a good, if you use like a slow cooker, to me, those are like a godsend because you can buy these cheaper cuts of meat that might, you know, they take a little longer to cook, but you can put all this stuff into the slow cooker. You add in, you know, carrots, garlic, onion, whatever, rosemary, herbs, and set it on, you know, 6-8 hours, let it sit, and you've got the best meal that's like, you know, a couple dollars for, you know, 5 or 6 portions. So you can't really beat that as in terms of value.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've gotten kind of oversimplified with our understanding of meats. Like, oh, we want the boneless, skinless, or we want the ground 5% fat. But
yeah.
Really, like, there's so much nutrition and all that stuff that you're cutting out.
Yeah.
You're cutting out flavor and you're cutting out all kinds of good amino acids, as
I'm sure, exactly.
You know all about. So yeah, even if you just buy something, you don't know how to use it, just go home and like Google it. Just,
yeah.
You know, you'll figure it out. Cool. Right on. So you also have some tips about storing food, because you were saying to me earlier that we throw out a lot of food because we didn't store it correctly. It got bad, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. The average person is wasting around 20 pounds of food a month, which is a lot. You know what I mean? If you think like you pick up, how much does a bunch of kale weigh? Not that much. 20 pounds is a ton of food. And it equals out to around $2,000 a year that the average household is wasting. So the first thing as far as storage actually has to do with your fridge. And people just think of fridge as like a cold box, but it's actually like it's a cold air distribution system. And there's actually different areas of the fridge that are cooler and warmer. So the coldest parts are up top and in the back, and the warmer parts are down low in the like vegetable crispers. So like produce needs to be kept cold, but actually not that cold. So that's the way the fridge has been designed to use. And if you're keeping certain items like, say, milk, most people keep on the fridge door. The place you really don't want to keep it is the fridge door, because the door is exposed to all the warm air in the room, because it's once it opens, you know, usually opens all the way, it's exposed to all that warm air. So things that can spoil, you tend to not want to keep on the door. You can keep things like cheese or whatever, because that doesn't need as much coolness or whatnot. And one tip is, a lot of this food wastage comes because if you have like moldy or contaminated food in your fridge, you want to get rid of it as quick as possible, because there's an air circulation system that goes throughout the fridge. So you have this moldy food, it can spread and contaminate a lot of the other food in your fridge. So as soon as you start to see something go, it's best to get it out of there. You have to change the way you look at things like that. Like there's a practical design by it, and these like, you know, airborne bacteria, it just whips throughout it and it's contained in this one little area. So if some of your food's going moldy, you're potentially eating it on something else or drinking it, you know what I mean, depending on how it got in there.
Oh, so gross.
Yeah.
Did you see that Dave Asprey has this new documentary called Moldy?
I heard it. No, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I think it's free for a couple more days to watch if anybody wants to look it up. But it's all about airborne mold and the dangers of it. He's really into the mold issue, so
If you think how quick like getting mold out of your house is a big issue, and more people becoming aware of that because how easily it can spread throughout the house. So picture in this tiny little box in your room, you know, in your kitchen. It's contained in there and you're eating that, you know, potential mold. Mm. So you want to keep that thing as clean as possible. Like if you ever have spills, you know, most people like whatever the if you have the old wire cage ones where everything drips onto top, or if it's like a glass bottom shelf on your fridge, any spills, whatever, you want to just like clean those up as soon as possible to keep that food as preserved as you can. A few other things, like little tips you can do are like as far as food storage is little things like not storing potatoes with other things. Like people tend to throw onions and potatoes and all that together, but they can't actually spoil each other. And those things are better stored by themselves. Like say with onions, you can, there's a little trick where if you put them in like old pantyhose and tie a knot in between each onion, you can get almost like 8 months out of those things. And yeah, and because people, you tend to bulk buy, like onions come in big bags and whatnot, and you don't, it takes a long time to go through those. And more often than not, they sit at like, you know, wherever with other produce on top of them, and they tend to go bad. You end up throwing them out. So it's a good storage tip. Here's one. If just speaking of storing fruit, keeping bananas away from other fruit, bananas emit this, it's called like ethylene gas, which promotes ripening very quickly and other fruits, so it can lead them to ripening and spoiling quicker. So if you keep bananas separate from other produce, it can slow down that ripening time. You notice how quick, like once some fruit goes, it all goes, you know, it just rapidly goes. Well, same thing with tomatoes as well. Like most people will store them in a, like say in a bag altogether, and they'll throw them in the fridge. And you notice like once one of those tomatoes goes moldy, the whole thing is just destroyed. And tomatoes do a lot better when they're stored in a single layer. So like if you have like a tray and kind of single layer, not piled on top of each other, and they actually do better in a little bit warmer. Like they can be kept on your kitchen counters and shelf. They don't necessarily have to be kept cold. Like if you think a lot of things like herbs and plants, they grow in this hotter weather. They don't always have to be put in the fridge if you know you're going to be getting to them in a more timely manner and having them sit around. If you do store, a good tip with any greens, produce, like whether it's lettuce, celery, kale, spinach, all that stuff, if you are storing them in a bag, you want to wrap that bag as tightly as possible around all those greens and just kind of like squeeze all the air out that you can. So the less air leads to less sort of breakdown of the product and then having them go brown and then ultimately moldy. So keep them as tight and sealed as possible as you can.
Yeah, sometimes I've seen for sale, you know, these like vacuum sealer things.
Yeah.
And I always thought, oh, that seems over the top. But, you know, maybe some of that is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, oxygen, you know, you take a bite out of an apple and then the oxygen, you see the oxygen you get to, it starts turning brown. I mean, that's just a natural process. But, you know, that's how it'll ultimately break down. And then when all that stuff's sitting together, it just contaminates the whole bunch. So, you know, whether those vacuum seals or what, like whatever you're storing, like vegetables, greens, whatever you store it in, just you keep it as tight and possible and kind of squeeze all the air out that you can. It'll get you that extra 4 or 5 days out of it, or 3 or 4, you know, just a little bit more. That's what leads to a lot of the wastage. Like I eat a ton of greens and everything, and I try to go through it really quick, and I still find myself throwing it out, you know what I mean, because I didn't get to it as quick as I thought I was, know what I mean. So
yeah. Would you talk a little bit more about what is best to leave on the counter, because I feel like I see a lot of people put literally everything in the fridge, and my understanding is putting certain things in the fridge will kind of degrade even the texture of it. Can
yeah
you clarify that?
Yeah, it's like if anyone who's been to Europe, I lived in England for a while. Like when you buy eggs there, people don't keep eggs in their fridge. When you buy them on the shelves, they're like sitting right on like a shelf that you would buy like cereal on. You know what I mean? It's a little bit, there's some potential different, you know, quality of the eggs because of how they are grown or whatnot, but not everything needs to be kept super cold. You know, I think obviously proteins and obviously meat and chicken and things like that need to, but ideally you want to have stuff that you're eating as soon as possible. You know what I mean? Like we're talking about like when things are picked, they start losing their nutrients right away. And, you know, if they've been taking a week to get to you and then they sit on the shelves and they sit, you know, you want to get that, you want to eat it as soon as you can. So it's not always practical for everyone. You know, they can't always be going to the grocery store two or three times a week. But if you can buy stuff that you can consume quicker, it's going to be better for you because you're going to get that higher nutrient profile at the peak, hopefully, as soon as you can. And then you're not overbuying. Like if you only go every 2 weeks, you tend to think, oh, I need this amount to last me for the next 3 weeks or a month. And that's when it ultimately will go spoiled and you'll end up throwing it out anyway.
Okay. This has all been super interesting. I'm going to have to kind of bone up on my storage.
Yeah.
I think that's the spot where.
Well, that's the beauty of like the bulk stores, like all those good to me, which are staple items like nuts and chia seeds and cacao nibs and all that stuff. You can like those things can last quite a while. Like you can store them in huge, you know, containers. They're good. Where the produce to me is something, you know, fresh vegetables, fruit, something you want to consume within, you know, 2 to 3 days. So that way you're not wasting it and that way you're getting the pure form of it.
And do you keep your nuts in the freezer or fridge?
No, because like I go through them so quick. So okay. I keep, you know, in a dry sort of dark room or whatnot. And I keep them separate from each other. Like those types of things are pretty resilient. And I go through them very fast.
Okay. Really interesting. Do you have any more tips you want to share before we talk more about your book and your resources?
Yeah, it's ultimately the main thing is like when I talk to people and when I... you know, helping them get in control of their diet. Most people, everyone shops in a grocery store. So, you know, I'm pushing like, you know, when you are shopping in a grocery store, you want to, like I said, focus on that outer ring. You want to move away from that processed, package, manufactured stuff, which tends to be in those center aisles. And you want to stay to that outer ring because that's where the fresh whole foods are. And, you know, if you're brand new to nutrition, if you're trying to take control of your health, you want to eat things that don't have like a nutrition label on them or an ingredient list. You want to eat like real whole foods because those things are ingredients. You can use them to make up your other meals. So if you're new to getting healthy and well and you've been eating a lot of processed stuff or junk food, you want to start moving to that outer ring, start eating those real whole foods. After you've done that for a while, now you want to look to start getting the best forms of those foods possible. So if you're growing, you know, if you're eating tomatoes from the grocery store, that's awesome because it's a whole food. But potentially, you know, it's probably not organic. It was probably grown with pesticides. It could have, you know, might be genetically modified or whatnot. So you want to start moving away ultimately from those big supermarkets and try to find those better privately run markets where you know the food's it's going to be fresher or it's a little more local, and ultimately move into trying to find places like farmers markets. And that's where, you know, you're getting the purest form of that food. And you know, it's grown probably within, I don't know, 50 miles max, like most of them do. And you're meeting the people that are actually growing these foods. So they can tell you everything about them and they can tell you how to prepare them better. And these places will tend to have better sources of if you do eat beef, things like that, you'll find naturally raised, grass-fed, non-hormone treated things like beef, which will have a better, you know, omega-3 profile. So they won't be from an animal that's sick or inflamed or diseased or filled with, you know, antibiotics or whatnot. And you can use these people, like their life is this food. And you want to start moving towards this real natural, as closely grown to you as you can food to get that better range of like pure nutrients, pure, you know, antioxidants in their best form, and just like real whole nutrition.
Yeah, that's great advice.
The one thing is like most people they're not sure where to start, but like if you just like Google farmers markets, they're everywhere. Like where I live in Southwestern Ontario here, like it's quite a big farming area, you know, within the region. And I'm aware of the different, you know, farmers markets in the city. So I'm very, like, that's where I get all my food. Like I try and get it from, you know, local growers, everything, local farms. And so I think I'm like knowing where all these great markets are. I Googled some different farmers markets. There were two within 5 minutes of my house that I had no idea about. Wow. That I now go to. So wherever you live, whatever part of the country, just like Google these places. And a lot of the times the food is as cheap or cheaper than some of the grocery store counterparts. You know what I mean? So start having a look within your region, and I guarantee there are some places there's more of a real whole food movement right now. And these places are like popping up more and more.
Yeah, it's true. And there's just so much more nutrition and food that was so freshly picked and from your local area. You know, it's in season. It's pretty,
exactly,
pretty amazing. Thank you so much. This has been super helpful.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm going to make a point when we post this on our blog to ask for people to share their ideas. So grocery stores you like in your area or buying clubs.
Yeah, that's the way to find them, is just kind of interact with people and say like, this place is the best place to get beef, or this place does the best, like, you know, you can find the best like sweet potato. You know what I mean? That's the best, you know, to kind of interact with everyone.
Yeah, totally. And I think you can feel more encouraged when you know there's a community of people doing the same thing. You know, there are lots of us out here trying to figure it out, and we get frustrated too, but then we can get help and figure out, okay, well, here's a place that's a little easier, a little closer to home. And that Cool. So tell us a little bit more about your resources. You've got your own podcast. So I was just checking it out. You've got a lot of great topics and guests. And then you've got a blog and a book on Kindle. Tell us more.
Yeah. So the website's regainwellness.com, and that's got everything's kind of on the website. So like you can find the podcast, which is also called Regain Wellness, and it's, you know, it's on iTunes and everything. But the actual episodes as well are on the website. So the blog's there, the podcast is there, different resources. And the book I just put out, just an ebook on Amazon called Taking Back Your Health. And it's kind of dives into all the different issues that I think people need to be more aware of, specifically around nutrition, because there's a lot of misinformation. So it just gets you up to speed on, you know, the gluten issue and whether you should follow paleo. And it talks about sugar and the fat whole issue and, you know, artificial sweeteners and why you need sleep, why you need water, all that stuff. So it's, to me, it's just arming people with as much knowledge as possible, because then that'll help you make the best decisions, whether you're sitting in a restaurant staring at a menu not knowing what's best at that place, or same thing, you're out food shopping and you're just staring around and you don't know what are your best choices. So it, to me, it just helps really get people up to speed with all those different issues.
Okay. And is this like $4 or $5 or something on Amazon?
Yeah, it's like $4.99. Sometimes it's like they do sales for like 99 cents, but it's never over like $5. So pretty good deal.
Right on. Cool. Well, and I'm looking forward to being on your podcast.
Absolutely. Me too.
Next month or two. So great to get to know you, and we'll have to have you back sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to.
And thanks to everyone listening. We appreciate your time, putting in your time with us. And I've been doing a good job of posting a show every week lately. And we've got a lot of good things booked, like I mentioned. So easiest way is to just subscribe. You don't have to listen to every show, but at least you know what's coming out the latest. And if something perks your interest, you can tune in. And my website's bridgetdanner.com if you'd like to hear more about me, or you'd like to get some of the links or join the conversation on this podcast. All right. Thanks, everyone. Until next week. Bye-bye.